morning, CBC. It's such a privilege to share God's word with you today on Mother's Day. I want to congratulate all the mothers and grandmothers and aunties and all the people who nurture children, whether they're big or small children. We all want to honor you today as mothers honor everyone who's given and sacrificed so that families can be healthy and grow. And as we're speaking today about God's word, my hope is that something that we look at here in Jesus' life and how he interacted with his disciples, it will be important to us and we'll be able to take that on board and grow as mothers and be able to nurture our children and our families in even more healthy and wonderful ways. And I was reflecting on this and the nurture we get from our mothers, and I was thinking about a time in my life when I was a little girl and I was about 6 or 7, and I used to get asthma attacks, and not a lot, but they weren't very often, but this one particular time was really quite severe, and I remember really struggling to breathe. It was quite a difficult time, and I couldn't even really move much. I was struggling so much. And I guess the other thing that made it a difficult experience was it was spring and it was like the end of school and all my little friends at school were going on this excursion and I couldn't go. And I really was quite devastated, to tell you the truth. And what got me through really is my mum. And I mean, my dad was at work. He also was looking after me. But really, mum was the one who was there. And I don't actually remember being very worried about whether I would get well again or whether I would be okay. I left all the worrying to mum. She did it all, and I'm sure she was, but she never let on. She was calm. She was there. If I needed anything, I could just call on her, and, you know, she would come. And I remember that being so comforting and beautiful. And I think that's one of the things we'll really see about Jesus today is, in the difficult times of our life, he is near. He's with us. He is the one who's the stronger, calm presence in our life who looks after us. So let's just get into this passage in Mark. First, I'm going to give a little bit of a background. The book of Mark, they think, is written by John Mark. John Mark is mentioned in the book of Acts. He was a companion of Paul and Barnabas on one of their missionary journeys. And it seems like something went wrong somewhere, because later there's a bit of a kerfuffle between Paul and Barnabas. It seems like John Mark left or did something that disappointed Paul, and he didn't want John Mark to come again. So there's quite a story here. This young man's been around the gospel. He was part of spreading the gospel and then had disappointments himself. Later, it seems that Paul and John Mark were reconciled, because we see in other parts of Scripture in Paul's epistles that there's some positive comments. But what we know is in the time that Mark wrote down his recollections, it's not Mark's recollections, it's Peter's recollections. So Mark knew Peter and knew all these stories of faith. And the time he was writing these down, he wanted to preserve them because the church was going through a lot of persecution. It was a really difficult time, and they needed something to hold on to. And the Gentile church needed something. They largely didn't have the heritage of faith that the Jewish church had. And what we see in this memoir of Peter that Mark wrote down is we see Jesus up to chapter 4. What we see of Jesus is he healed people, he cast out demons, and he had very authoritative teaching. And so people were drawn to him. Crowds and crowds of people followed Jesus around. And we also see Mark depicting Jesus as very human. There's some really lovely details and things about where Jesus had to get away. So we have this picture of Jesus as both the divine Son of God and a human who struggled just like us. And we look at how he responded, and we learn from him through these stories that have been saved for us. So let's have the scripture, the first part of this Mark 4 story of Jesus and the disciples in this storm that comes up. Let's read from there right now.
Jesus calms the storm. Mark 35-41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?"
So what we see in this passage is that Jesus and his disciples, Jesus had been ministering all day. Jesus directs them, "Let's get in this boat. Let's go across the Sea of Galilee." Jesus knew where he was going. "Let's go to the other side." And while they're in the boat and crossing, a terrible storm comes up. And it must have been quite terrifying. It sounds very, very scary. And we know that it must have been a bad storm because some of the guys were fishermen and they were used to boats and they were used to bad weather, but they were really scared that they were going to drown. And the water was coming into the boat, and we just have this picture of a really intense moment happening. And what I'd like us to do, I've got a little video here. Because not only do we have this intense storm going on, we've got Jesus asleep, and Mark even says he's asleep on a cushion. So this very human Jesus, who was tired and exhausted, falls asleep. And in this video, I'm hoping that we can use our imagination to what would it be like if we were in that boat? What if you were one of the disciples who was experiencing this and maybe seeing the master and teacher that you depended on just sleeping away? So what we might feel if we were in that circumstance and in that boat is probably just a lot of panic, and we wouldn't have known quite what to do. And maybe we would have even been wondering, just like the disciples, doesn't Jesus care? How could he sleep through this terrible storm? And they were like, "Master, teacher, wake up! Don't you care about us?" And I think this is so wonderful that the Bible depicts our human struggles. When bad things happen, when storms come, when life is difficult, we cry out. We wonder, where is God? The psalmist said, "Why have you forgotten me?" And we often feel that way sometimes in difficult times of our life. Where is God? Has he forgotten us? And we sometimes could be like Job, where we say, "God, I want you to come give an account. Why? I'm going to grill you in a court of law and prove that you're wrong." But the thing is, in this human place where we're crying out to Jesus, he, in our overwhelmness, in our pain, in our sometimes our lostness and our grief, he invites us. No matter whether your storm is on the outside, whether it's COVID, whether someone in your family is unwell, or maybe you are exhausted looking after your family day after day without hardly any break. Maybe your storm is internal Maybe you have depression or fear or anxiety, or you have some terrible self-doubt or other kinds of things that can really feel like a storm that won't go away. What does this show us? I think this passage of Scripture shows us that it doesn't really matter how we come to Jesus. We don't have to dress it up in religious language. It doesn't even have to be polite. We can just say, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus. Please. And we can cry out whatever way you can. Just cry out to Jesus and ask Him for help, because He wants to give that help and His arms are open wide to us. And we know that because in Scripture it says in 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you. Well, let's read the rest of the passage and see what else happens after Jesus wakes up.
He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
When Jesus wakes up and speaks to the storm, those three words, silence, be still, He has authority and power, and He shows Himself as the Lord of the universe, as the Lord over all creation. The disciples didn't know who they had in their boat, really. They had seen that He had power to heal and that He could teach, and they followed Him because they believed in Him, but it only went so far. It took this storm in their life for Jesus to really be revealed in this next way as the Lord of creation and the Lord over everything. And as the one who would respond to their cry for help, whose nearness and whose love for them and care for them really was constant and faithful and couldn't be shaken. And I guess the other thing we see is what Jesus says to the disciples. So first we cry out to Him, and then He's revealed in ways that we wouldn't know if we didn't go through that storm. And then we see that Jesus is going to speak words to them, and the words He speaks are, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And He's drawing them to something more, wants them to grow and become men who have faith and courage in the face of all kinds of adversity. And I think it's a little bit to me like when our children have nightmares and they cry out to us, "Mom, Dad, where are you? I need you." We go to them and we comfort them and we care for them. And we say, "I was right here. Like, where did you think I was going to be? I'm right here. I'm going to care for you." And you comfort them and get them back to sleep. And the next day, when things are calm again, you might speak to your children about what they can do when they feel afraid. Who can they call on? Can they pray for themselves? We skill them up. We equip them. We want our children to grow and be better than they were before. We want them to be able to face life. We want them to mature and grow. And this is Jesus' words to His disciples and to us as mums and dads. But it's not Father's Day, it's Mother's Day. He wants us to grow, and He wants us to be able to grow up our family. And I think, who is this Jesus who is asking us to have faith in Him and in all adversity? He's the Jesus who speaks these words in Romans 8.
Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we shall face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Jesus is calling us to have faith in him because he is the one who has shown his love for us, a love that's so deep and so strong and so powerful that nothing, absolutely nothing, can ever separate us from his love. And that is such an important truth for us to grasp when we're going through the storms of life and when things are difficult. He will never leave us or forsake us. So Jesus' admonishment to the disciples is for them to be something more, to know him deeper, to come along and be able to face the next storm that's coming with more equipping and more character and more faith. Because they didn't know, but Jesus knew what was going to face them on the other side of Galilee. There was going to be another challenge, another difficulty. They were going to get out of that boat and be immediately confronted with the demon-possessed man. And I think he would have been pretty terrifying. It sounds like he had wreaked havoc all through his village. And I think this is what we have to know is there's going to be more storms. More challenges will confront us. This isn't the only storm we will go through. COVID's not the last time we will, I hope it's the last time we're all on lockdown and all these terrible things. But it's not the last time we will have adversity and difficulty in our life. And there's an interesting little meme, and you've probably seen it because it's been around a long time and maybe it's even a little bit trite. But I think it applies here. A ship in harbour is safe, but that is not what ships are built for. At the time that we're in a storm, sometimes all we can sometimes feel like we can focus on is the storm, or even our fear or our worries about what's going to happen or what will happen at the end or how we will get through it or how our family will get through it. But we were created by God to be able to have strength and to draw on his strength and to be able to meet adversity and overcome it. That's his plan and his purpose. We're not ships that are made to stay in a safe harbor and just be protected and live tiny little lives. We're meant to go out and face storms and have the ability to do that with God as our strength, not in our own strength. Because he wants his kingdom to advance. He wants people to be set free. He wants us to be his instruments and his agents in our world to make a difference. And we can't do that in the safe harbor, in the port. We got to go out. And that means we've got to get, there's going to be some battering. There's going to be some bruises. There's going to be some difficult things. But he's going to carry us through. And we stand on his promises. We believe he's the one who cares for us and whose love can never go away from us. And that he's going to be near. And we don't have to worry about him being so far away that we'll be left alone with our problems. And I learned this in a very difficult way myself, and I will still be learning it because I don't have these things down pat. When we came back from Kenya 16 years ago, I remember that I had really bad reverse culture shock. I was grieving the loss of our church family and our friends and things that had been very precious to me about our life in Kenya. And I really sort of went into a low time of my life. It was definitely the most stormy thing that had ever happened to me up to that point. And I know that if I hadn't gone through that storm, I wouldn't have been able to learn of God's grace and to learn of how much he loves me, even when I couldn't produce and didn't feel like I was doing what I maybe should have been doing. I could be in his presence and know his love and his care for me. And he did bring me through that storm, and he brought me to a new career, and I changed a lot of things in my life. And since then, there have been other storms. There have been storms in our marriage. There have been storms in our family. There have been children leaving home and people, we've changes in our job situations. All kinds of different things have happened, and those lessons have stayed with me for the most part. When I remember his promises and when I cry out to Jesus and I believe that he's near to me, I grow to be more like him. And I grow to be more like what he has planned and destined for me to be and the difference he's planned for me to make in my world. So mothers, as I think about you today, as I think about myself today, what Jesus is showing us here is to be a godly mother, to be like him in our mothering is to cry out to him, to rely on him, to have faith that he is near and he will be the one who will see us through. And also that we will be filled. And I know, look, as a mom of little kids, sometimes just brushing my teeth was a luxury. And that filling doesn't come from hours in the Word or long meditations on his goodness or prayers that go on and on. It's from snatches and moments of saying, help, help me, God, get me through this. Give me what I need to minister to my family. Fill me so that I can overflow in blessing to them. And it also means that we keep learning. We keep learning from Jesus. We keep learning about who he is. And as we learn who he is, we can teach our family and our children more about him because it's coming from inside of us. And the other thing I know is we can't do this by ourselves. We need each other. We need other mothers to support us. We need our husbands, we need our dads, we need our brothers in Christ, we need a whole community and family of God around us to support us. We sometimes need to cry out and say, help me, I'm not really making it very well. Can you help me? And we're not meant to go it alone. We're meant to do it in community, and we're meant to do it depending on God and his faithfulness. So today, on Mother's Day, let's draw near to Jesus, whatever way we can, cry out to him and ask for his help. And let's learn from Jesus how to have faith. Let's stand on his promises. Let's believe him that he's going to get us through this storm. He's going to equip us and enable us to be whatever we need to be in the situation we're facing, that he's going to get us through to the other side of the storm. And holding on to Jesus, we're going to declare this truth, just like 2 Timothy 1:12 says, I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted in him until the day of his return. These are the promises we are going to stand on as mothers. May you be blessed today on Mother's Day.